Well, we had a little bit of pause in the system there, and I hope that we are still airing successfully. I want to welcome you to the service. Great to have you here this wonderful Sunday morning, and here in the sanctuary of the church, it is warm already. It's bright and it's warm, and we're thankful for this bout of good weather that we're having, and I hope that you can enjoy it to the full in these times. Now, our Bible reading is John chapter 15. We move on a little here in the Gospel of John. Now, in the past, I have said that I want to preach through this Gospel of John and fill in some of the portions that I have not preached on before. Well, today we're coming back to familiar ground, and I have to say I have preached on this before, but I feel compelled that we come back to this wonderful parable of the vine and the branches, and that we take a fresh look at some of the wonderful insights we have here to the whole work of God's grace in the heart of the believer. Follow with me as we read together the first 12 verses, John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Well, we end our Bible reading there. May the Lord bless you through his word and help us to minister that word this morning. And again, welcome in the Savior's name, and to our webcast viewers everywhere, our own congregation and families, and those a little further away who depend on this webcast for church, our people in Victoria. And we trust the Lord will draw near and bless each and every heart. And on this Mother's Day, we want to wish God's blessing on mothers, and we pray that you will be encouraged and blessed. And there's one family in our congregation mightily rejoicing today, because on the day just before Mother's Day, they got a baby granddaughter. Mrs. Arlene Routley sent the news yesterday that Kara and Philip were greatly blessed with the birth of a little girl. Bethany Grace is her name, and all are well, and we rejoice. And to top it off, this little girl was born on the anniversary, the wedding anniversary for Arlene and Doug, and we rejoice with them in the Lord's goodness. Also want to thank our brother Alan Samuel for cutting the grass yesterday. It was getting a rather shabby look for a while, but it looks a whole lot better today, and we appreciate his work on a hot day as he cut the grass around the church. Now this evening at 6 p.m. we'll be having our second service. We'll be inviting you to our 6 p.m. service. And in the evening, I want to preach a Mother's Day message. We'll be going to Acts chapter 9 to Tabitha, otherwise known as Dorcas. So join with us at 6 p.m. for our online service again. And then on Wednesday, we have our prayer message at 7:30, webcast. And then at 8:15 approximately, we join by Zoom. And again, if you want in on this and you need a link, let me know, and we'll be happy to send that to you. Now, our message today, abiding in Christ, the secret of fruit bearing. That's what we come to here in John chapter 15. And we come to take a fresh look at this parable, and it is a parable, where Jesus said, I am the true vine, ye are the branches. And in this parable, we have, well, certainly a very familiar language. Who cannot understand the connection between the vine and the branches? And that is the obvious picture of our life as Christians, trusting in the Lord as our Lord and as our Savior. And I'm praying that this time when we cannot gather together as Christians, that this will be a time of growth in your own personal life. Maybe more than ever in your Christian life, you have been forced to depend upon your own Bible reading and your own prayer times, or as worshiping as a family. And my prayer has been and continues to be that through this you will grow by leaps and bounds in your own Christian life. Well, in this passage, we learn some secrets of growing as a Christian, the life of the branch in the vine. Let's bow in prayer and we'll ask the Lord to minister to us through his word. Father, we ask your blessing. We pray for the Spirit of God and the blessing of God upon our own souls as we look into your word today. Bless every hearer, and may we be translated not merely just to hearers, but to doers of thy word. We thank thee for the impact of this chapter upon the lives of every Bible reader. All who have seriously considered these things have been brought to a clear understanding of what it means to live the Christian life in total dependence upon thee, Lord. And we come today to acknowledge that we are dependent upon thee for every spiritual part of our lives, just as we are for the temporal part of our lives. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll open up this passage of thy word, and that you'll give us grace to minister upon it. Bless every soul, speak to your people, and call the lost into true union with our Lord Jesus. We pray this earnestly in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. The first thing that stands out in this chapter 15 in John's Gospel is that growth matters. Growth in the Christian life is all important. That's why the Lord has saved you. That's why the Lord has bought you with his own blood, that he might make you to be a fruitful Christian. And you can't be fruitful unless you are growing. Now, this is not about salvation. This is not about how to get right with God. This is not about how to have your sins washed away and have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is not about to have that blessed joy of knowing that you are justified. It's not that at all. It is what comes after the hour of conversion. When the Lord comes into your heart, when the Lord changes you from being a sinner lost on the broad road to destruction to being a pilgrim on the way to heaven, what happens and what ought to happen in the Christian's life? Well, verse 8 tells us, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." And that's what it's all about. That's what the Christian life is all about. That's why we would dearly love to be here today worshiping as a congregation, to be a witness in the community, not just for our own contentedness, not just for our own experience, but that we would glorify our Heavenly Father. That's why you ought to have a testimony in your Christian home. And that's why you ought to be growing in your own personal life, that your life will bring glory to the Father. Now, is that happening? Can you say that day by day that you are bringing forth fruit that is truly bringing glory to the Father? It's not about houses, land, bank accounts, even our own contentedness in this world. It is, do we bring glory to our own Father? If all you want is your sin and your own advancement, then we'd have to say you were never in union with the Lord Jesus. You're not a branch united to the vine. Jesus is the true vine, and the true branch will desire and strive to glorify the Father. And that's the mark of the true believer in the Lord Jesus. And so if that is your strong desire today, welcome to John chapter 15, to this parable. And may there be a word for your heart that will help you and strengthen you. Now we notice firstly in verse 1, the Father's tender care of the branches for their fruit bearing. The Father's tender care. The thing that struck me with fresh power and really wanted me to preach this all over again, because I've preached on this a number of times over the years, but the thing that thrilled my heart and I wanted to be able to emphasize here this morning is that the Father is the vine dresser. He does not hire out this out to others. He doesn't assign this to workers. It is the Father who is the husbandman. And he personally takes care of the branches in the vine. Now, there are two things that the vine dresser or the husbandman does. And we're told here that every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And you see here that it's he, the Father, the vine dresser, who personally looks after the vine. He taketh away. And then it goes on to say, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. So it's all about the fruit. And it is the Father who personally takes tender care of these branches. The same Father whom the Lord Jesus said sees the sparrow fall and cares for his children, therefore. The same Father who counts the hairs on our heads and knows us intimately and personally. The Father is the one who looks after the individual Christian. Just as the vine dresser, he goes around looking at the vine, looks at each branch, and he sees their need, and he looks after them in these two ways. Now, we're told here in verse 2 that beareth the branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, I do understand that the dead wood gets bundled up and it's good for nothing but the fire. And I do understand that on down in verse 6, we're told, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire. But in my study of this verse 2, and I look at the word taketh away, it means much more than just taking away the dead wood. It means to tie up, to train, and to get that branch into the place where it's in the right position, where it can bring forth more fruit. And then the word purgeth. And again, this is needing a little deeper study. The word purgeth in the Greek word is kathairo, and it means cleansing, cleansing. Now that cleansing of the vine dresser, when he looks at each branch and he sees the leaves that are defiled, so that he will remove the dirt, the dust, the bugs, or the bug poop, he digs or washes those vine leaves so that they are made clean. And you might say, Ian, but it doesn't say that here in our English Bible. It says he purgeth it. But the word purge means think cleansing. And I'm going to stick with this because verse 3 really gives greater weight to this thought. Now ye are clean through the word. And so in this analogy of the vine, the branches, the vine dresser, purging or cleansing the leaves on the branches from dirt and defilement, that it may remain healthy and bring forth fruit, there is the like work of the Father working in us by his word. And very often in the Bible, the word is the water, and we refer to the water of the word. So that is the word of God that cleanseth our minds and hearts. Now, the word doesn't cleanse away our sins. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from sin. But if you want a pure mind, if you want a clean life, you must let this word dwell in you, and it will work that cleansing work within your own soul. And so this parable shows the personal attention of the Father to care for each and individual branch, that it is trained properly, that it is growing healthily, that it is free from dirt, defilement, disease, that it will bring forth more fruit. And the Father deals with you and with me individually in our own personal walk, and he will do what it takes that we bring forth more fruit. And it's precious to know that the Father just doesn't deal with us in a mass or a blanket fashion, but individually, one by one. And in the providences of God, where our lives are all unique, and he leads us different ways, and he deals with us in different ways, and the experiences that we have, they are individual to us. And it is the work of our Heavenly Father cleansing us, purifying us, that we bring forth more fruit. Now, what does this Word of God do in us by which he cleanses us? Well, I hope that you're familiar with Psalm 119, verse 9, thy word have I taken to heart, that it cleanseth us. It's the cleansing power of that word. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, 2 Corinthians 7, 1, we have a like statement. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And so this is the work that must go on in the heart of the believer. There must be this continual work of cleansing. And if you are a branch in the vine, this is the work that the Father will perform within your own life. And the result is that of cleansing our lives of carnal things, of worldly thinking, the philosophies of this old world, and he will work in us to fit us for fellowship with the Father through the Son. That's really what growth is, fitting us more and more for fellowship with the Father through the Son. And that's the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. In John 17, 17, you have that command, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And here is the word of God is the instrument. The Holy Spirit is the efficient cause. He is working in the heart of his children, and he is making sure that we abound in the Lord. So the Father takes care of each branch, that it is united to the Son, and that it is growing in fellowship, because the Father seeks our worship. He seeks our fellowship, and he will go to any lengths to bring us into greater fellowship with himself. And that confirms that we need to pray that in this time of pandemic, that the Father will do this work in our hearts individually, that we will be cleansed of all the tendency to formality and to mere convention, that we will be awakened to our own personal standing with the Lord and greater desire for real personal fellowship with the Lord. And I pray that that process is going on. And he can do that by making us feel the loneliness of it. He can make us feel the unusual, extraordinary, and perhaps even the deprivation of privileges. And we would love to think that when the Lord allows us to get back to something like normal, that there will be deeper desires and longing that we might be branches in the vine, bringing forth much fruit. And if that comes out of these weeks of isolation, then we can have to say, thank you, Father, that you caused us to go through these things, that we might be purged, that we might be trained, and that we might be sanctified more and more. Now, the next thing, and I've said it before, and it's so obvious in this passage, is that the Father's goal for the branches is fruit bearing. This is not for salvation, because it is spoken to the disciples. And remember that Judas already had departed. He had already betrayed the Lord. He had gone out and it was night. And it was after this that the Lord began to speak to his disciples in a personal way. And of course, you can't abide unless you are already in the vine. The branch can't abide or continue in the vine if it's not already united to it. And so when we are commanded here to abide in the Lord, it means we're already in union with him. This is spoken to believers. Now, this is about living the Christian life for the glory of God. And the parable holds up in the abundance of fruit that is brought in at harvest time that will bring honor to the owner of the vineyard. And we need to be mindful that we're not a Christian just to please ourselves. We're not here just to bring forth whatever we desire, but the Lord wants us to bring forth godly fruit, gospel fruit, biblical fruit, fruit that glorifies the Father. Now, let's think on those things that we ought to be doing in real terms that we might so glorify our Heavenly Father by bearing fruit? Well, there ought to be Christ-likeness. There ought to be an affinity between the branch and the vine. As the branch is united to that vine, it will bear the likeness, and it will be befitting and becoming. Now, if you are united to the Lord by the power of the gospel, you are called to live a life that is becoming and indeed like unto the Lord Jesus. We're also called to be doers of the word. Christians are not just playing games with the Bible. And I know that sometimes in Bible study and Bible clubs and so on that we have fun with the Bible. But it's not about just merely playing games. It is that we might become doers, that we might really practice the admonitions and the exhortations of the Bible in our own lives. And of course, the one great thing that the Bible calls us to do is to live separate from the world. You can't be a branch in the vine and live like a briar. You are called to a new life, a life of obedience, a life of surrender, a life where you honor the Father and the Son, and of course seek the indwelling of the Purifier, the Holy Spirit himself. And so this is a new life. It's not the life of entertainment and the titillating pleasures of this world. It is a life of real communion and of fellowship with the Father through the Lord Jesus. Now, we could go to Galatians 5 and verse 17, right through to 22, and look at the fruit of the Spirit. And there are 9 fruits of the Spirit, and they are very important. That's a great study, and I would recommend it highly. And the Lord wants us to bring forth these fruits: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. These are the fruits of the Spirit. And of course, the first in order is love. There must be the flowing of the love of the Lord into our lives, just as the sap from the vine flows into the branch. And if you are growing in the love of the Lord, where that love overwhelms you, delights you, and is changing you from an ugly and despising, hateful person to be conformed to the love nature of the Lord, what wonderful fruit it is. And again, in practical terms, it comes down to loving our wives. And on this Mother's Day, yes, we're reminded that we are greatly indebted to the friendship and the love that we enjoy with our spouses. And today we are need to remind ourselves we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And you can't just be a church-going person, have the name of a Christian, and yet make life miserable for your wife. And husbands, we are called to this. There is no greater testimony, no greater fruit that you can bear than to be a man who cares and loves your wife according to that model where Christ loved the church. He died for her. He gave his everything for her. And we are to so love our wives. Now, if love comes into this, so does hating sin. There ought to be in us, if we are a true branch in the vine, an increase of hatred for sin. And then we come to the prayer life. This fruit bearing is directly related to our prayer life. And this abiding in the Lord as the branch in the vine. I'm going to take you to verse 7 here. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. There has to be this fellowship, this union with the Lord, that there may be a prayer life that is of any power. And very often it is due to lack of abiding, lack of fellowship, that leads to prayerlessness. And your prayer life is the greatest barometer of your living in fellowship with the Lord. The two go together. And we are clearly reminded of these things here in this passage. And remember, the Lord is seeking that fruit in your life. He wants to change you into a praying Christian. And he may even take away practical things out of your life. He may deny you of many things that you might be learned to abide and depend in the living fellowship with him, that you might be a prayer testimony in your own life. We come thirdly to the Lord commands us to abide in him to be fruitful. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. It's quite remarkable that in the first 11 verses of this chapter, 11 times you have the word abide or the word continue. They actually are the same. And there's just one Greek word and it means remain. You must remain. You must continue. You must press in. And this is the significance. Abiding in Christ is the secret to fruit bearing. It's impossible to bring forth true Christian holy living without constant communion with the Lord. Otherwise, there will be dryness, deadness, there will be coldness in our souls. We'll be like the branch that when it's severed, the opposite to abiding is severed. It says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And in the verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth. That means if he's severed from me. And so there is this dependence of personal communion and fellowship with the Lord. All the slick forms of religion or / Christianity cannot make you to grow in fellowship with the Lord. Fellowship with the Lord is the absolute necessity in the Christian life. Now, the devil is very, very subtle about this. And he knows that when you are living in close communion with the Lord, that you're going to grow, that you're going to be fruitful. And Satan will do everything in his power to disturb that life of fellowship so that there is some kind of a severing of the branch from the vine. And if he can cause that injury to the branch that it begins to wither, then he is content. Now, you can be as religious as you like. You can be as church-going as you like. You can have all the outward conformity of Christianity, but the devil will disturb and distract you away from personal, individual fellowship, drawing grace, life, joy, holiness, spiritual power from the Lord. And he will make you as busy as he can with many, perhaps good things, as long as you're taken away from this union, this communion with the Lord. He will distract your devotional life of abiding in him. And he will give opportunities to work, opportunities to do many things, but he will use those things to take us away from our individual fellowship and communion with the Lord. And so we have to warn that anything that takes your heart and eyes off the Lord Jesus will rob you of his power and his blessing. The Father's way of making his people fruitful is to have constant, ongoing fellowship with the Son. And the closest thing I can liken this to is that if you have flowers in a pot and they're in the hot sun by day, you need to be constantly watering them. If you allow that root ball to dry up and there is a withering immediately, and you can almost see them wilting right before your eyes when they're dead dry, and if there's not constant watering, constant supply of life, then it just dies. And it's the same in our Christian lives. We can do nothing. We're told that in verse 5. The Lord Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Severed from me, without constant fellowship with me, ye can do nothing. And so we've got to fight the good fight of faith and fight for a devotional life. We've got to insist that we must not work until we have found strength and life, grace and power from fellowship with the Lord. Our worship must precede our work. Let that be the principle of your life. The church must be at prayer before it can witness before the world. There must be that living drawing of all life from the Lord, that we might be effective witnesses for him. And the good news is that abiding in Christ guarantees the Lord's abiding in us. Let's read verse 5 again. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now, notice the proper roles. The Lord is the vine, we are the branches. And if we just live life as a branch, the fruit will come. It's guaranteed. And so all we have to do is to live the branch life. We're not asked to do the supplying. We're not asked to do the work of the vine. We're just asked to be in fellowship with the vine and let the fruit happen. And that's the promise, that's the guarantee that we have here in this passage. There will be much fruit if we will only live the life of a branch. Let me quote to you Andrew Murray on this, that we only need to be a branch. You need for one single moment of the day take upon yourself the responsibility of the vine. You need not for one single moment of the day take upon yourself the responsibility of the vine. You need not leave the place of entire dependence and unbounded confidence. You need, least of all, to be anxious as how you are to understand the mystery, fulfill its conditions, or work out its blessed aim. The vine will give all and work all. The Father, the husbandman, watches over your union with and growth in the vine. And you need be nothing more than a branch, only a branch. Let that be your watchword. It will lead you in the path of continual surrender to Christ's working. You will walk with true obedience to his every command and joyful experience. This branch life takes away the burden of service. This branch life takes away the responsibility of what the fruit or how much fruit. My responsibility is to live as a branch in the vine, drawing my all from the Lord, living in prayer, living in fellowship with him, and we trust him for the fruit that is to come. And so we can see that the abiding is absolutely essential. And you can't read these verses 1 through 11, 12 without noting the repetition of the word abiding. And so the question comes, are we doing that? Or are we just living on the externals of church life, on the outward things, and we do not have a true union, true communion with the Lord, constantly abiding in him? Now remember, to be out of fellowship even for a day will cause you to wither, just like the plant, just like the branch. Even just a few hours without fellowship will lead to withering. And here is the essential of the Christian life. Take heed of the fellowship, and the fruit will spring forth. Let that sink in today. Let that cause you to enter into constant personal fellowship with the Lord in your heart, even now, today. Begin today. Don't put it off. Step up. Get to the place of fellowship with the Father through the Son and ask him to work that fruit bearing in your life for his name's sake. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word here today. And Lord, these things are so obvious, so simple, and yet we miss them. We lose the very truths of them because they are so obvious. Oh Lord, help us to get to the place where we live as a branch in the vine. Forgive us, oh Lord, for wanting to do so many things on our own, without worship, without prayer, without leaning on the Lord. We just want to thank thee that we are united to Christ, that every believer is united as a branch to the vine, and that the work of the Christian is like the branch to bear fruit. And we pray, Lord, that there will be much fruit in these times. Let there be the fruit of holiness, Christ's likeness in our lives. Let there be the fruit of humility, the love of Jesus burning in our hearts, thrilling our souls. And grant, Lord, that you will give us the joy of being fruit bearers unto thee. Bless every hearer today. O Lord, we thank thee for each one who is in Christ, seeking to live for your glory. Give us grace. Give us the Holy Spirit in greater measure. And grant to us victory and power that we may live for thee daily. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.